Now we'll move on to Terry King, who will share some strategies for creating a power and cooling infrastructure to support your network foundation. Terry is Director of Business Development for Liebert Power and Cooling at Emerson Network Power. Hello, Terry, and welcome.
Hi, Tom.
Terry, why does power and cooling become more important when VoIP is deployed?
Well, Tom, for a few reasons. As Brad just shared, in a converged environment, there's no tolerance for downtime. Users expect dial tone to always be present, and emergency phone service must be available. So without proper backup power and cooling, the network is exposed. First, I'd like to thank Brad for an excellent presentation on the University of Wyoming network and his best practices recommendation for creating a highly available network. Let's take a look at the agenda today. Brad talked about the importance of getting it right, and we're going to discuss that a little more. We're going to talk about the changing network infrastructure. We're going to talk about how to build a secure network structure using power solutions to achieve high availability. We'll talk about cooling, high-density switches, blades, and closet cooling issues. And then we're going to talk about monitoring and its importance. John Chambers, the CEO of Cisco and industry visionary, has been quoted many times that the network is the enabler of the business strategy. He suggests that IP telephony will be the key productivity driver for businesses across all vertical industries over the next 10 years. In a recent keynote presentation at VoiceCon, John made a few comments that I think are appropriate for today's session. Network professionals will have to anticipate the communication demands of corporate executives before developing a strategy for IP communication. He went on to say that this requires organizations to look at the network and security infrastructure that can provide a high-quality application experience without leaving an organization open to the new threats that voice over IP and convergence could introduce. Convergence adds a new level of mission criticality to the network, as Brad very appropriately described for us. There's little tolerance for downtime and network outages, little time to recover. Users expect dial tone to always be present, and mobile workers, customers, and suppliers must be able to connect. Your power and cooling infrastructure is critical to the availability of your network. Power problems can be catastrophic. Unlike hardware or software that can take out an application or a device, power can take out an entire building or multiple buildings at a time. And phone service and emergency service can be lost. And with P-over-E devices operating in telecom closets, UPS backup is extremely critical. As Brad suggested, cooling is also a major issue. Precision cooling is critical to maintaining equipment life. Keep in mind that an 18-degree increase in temperature over 72 degrees can drop equipment life expectancy as much as 50%. Now let's talk about a changing network infrastructure. The network is enabling enterprises to be more efficient, be more responsive to customers, contain costs, create differentiation and competitive advantage, and provide a more secure environment. But it's not enough anymore to just have a high level of data center availability, because the data center is just one node in this virtual network. We're going to look at how networks have evolved to support the changing business needs and identify ways to elevate the reliability of the entire network infrastructure utilizing proven cooling and power strategies. As we have moved from separate voice and data networks to one network, many services are now dependent on it being available: suppliers, branch offices, customers, mobile workers. So the necessity for the converged network to be built on a more reliable foundation and supported by a highly available infrastructure is most critical. And since power to the connected devices is supplied from the network switch, the power requirements increase dramatically in the network closet. Also increases the heat dissipated in that space. So network closets in this new environment have become more mission critical. If we look at the evolution of the network closet space, when transitioning to a converged network. Power over Ethernet, as Brad suggested, is the key to most IP deployments in order to maintain end-to-end reliability levels of the IP phone system. However, the typical legacy closet was not designed for the power and heat loads being deployed in today's closets. As Brad suggested, P over E really simplifies deployment. The IEEE 802.3a standard was created for powering phones and other devices from the switch. And it's an evolving standard that will only increase the amount of power draw per port in future revisions. We expect the new P over E Plus standard to increase the power per port from something like 30 or 40 watts. So the power supplies in the switches are going to increase in capacity to meet the new port requirements. And I think we'll see in the next couple of years power supplies in the 10 to 15 watt range to support these larger switches. If we look at power requirements for a typical Cisco switch, the 4500, which is a very popular layer 3 switch being deployed in closets, notice how P over E power is some 4 to 5 times that of data power. And we can see how P over E is affecting the density of switches that are being deployed in these closets. And with power densities increasing 4 to 6 times for P over E when compared to data power, more power has to be delivered to each network closet. Don't make the mistake that one of our customers made. They implemented voice over IP without UPS, and then a year later they decided they had to add the power protection. At that point, they discovered they had to rewire the closets, which obviously was more expensive after the equipment was in place than if they had done it in the beginning. Cooling, which we'll touch on in a minute, it has the same issue. Design an integrated power and cooling strategy before you build out the network infrastructure, not after. The benefits are too compelling to ignore. I would guess that most of you are somewhere between ready to deploy or planning to deploy. And it's really not a question today of if, but it's a question of when. So let's now look at how IP telephony deployments are affecting the network infrastructure and the importance that power and cooling will play in your build-out. As Brad suggests, convergence requires a new approach. Most organizations have invested heavily in power and cooling systems that ensure high availability for their data centers, as you probably have, because the data center is considered critical to the business. And generally speaking, users have been less likely to invest in high availability power and cooling solutions at the edge of the network because it wasn't thought to be necessary. But if you agree that the network is critical to your business and you are moving or will be moving to a converged network, the edge of the network is as mission critical as your data center. Even short interruptions in a converged environment in power can be costly and damaging. And as Brad has suggested, the issue of emergency communications must be considered. 911 service is critical. So if we expand our mission-critical infrastructure to all layers of our network, we must incorporate the same protection elements that keep our data centers up and running continuously. These are power, cooling, monitoring, and service. Mission-critical data centers standardize on the most reliable power, cooling, monitoring, and service elements to help maintain system availability. So let's look at how to incorporate this into your computer rooms and network closets for IP telephony. We'll start with the power elements. The overriding goal here is to maintain the availability and the integrity of the protected network. We're seeing a number of trends in power protection for IP networks. Customers deploying voice over IP are taking power issues seriously, and they're planning up front. Customers concerned about high availability are increasingly standardizing on online double conversion UPS technology, just as Brad did at the University of Wyoming. And we're also seeing plug-and-play DC solutions being used as alternatives for large enterprises deploying large numbers of IP phones. And for customers that don't have backup generator, 2-hour backup battery is becoming the standard, and a standard recommended by Cisco Systems. Your UPS system selection is critical, as Brad has suggested. And there is a choice to be made in the UPS technology for your network closets. As we've said in the data center, this has not been a big issue because, without exception, data centers use online double conversion technology because of its continuous power conditioning, extended battery life, fault tolerance, the redundant path of power. But in the network closets, we've seen some customers deploying line interactive UPS technology, which is not sufficient for mission-critical applications. For converged networks, as Brad has just told us, it's recommended that online double conversion technology be used for the same reasons that we use it in the data center. And it also is better to support extended battery runtimes or to operate efficiently with backup generators. Let's take a look at this one-line diagram and describe to you the difference between online double conversion and line interactive. And very simply, in an online double conversion system, the input power is completely regenerated. It goes from AC to DC through a conversion step back to DC so that your output load sees perfect output power. In this chart, it might be easier to understand, and you'll notice that the green line, which represents line interactive technology, can only protect about 5 different power anomalies, and not 100% across all those power anomalies. The blue line, which represents online technology, will protect you against all 7 known common power anomalies. And this is the reason we recommend online double conversion UPS technology. The third technology that we mentioned, which is DC, which can provide extremely high levels of availability, is an established technology used by the telecommunications industry and has for many years to provide high levels of availability in the traditional voice network. This technology is now being considered as an alternative for powering the converged network. The major benefits with DC UPS is that power can scale with your IP phone implementations and will cost-effectively provide extended battery runtime for environments without backup generator power. And generally, we would use DC power for implementations from the closet with more than 100 P over E ports. Your UPS architecture is going to shape your UPS availability. And this is a good chart that you can use in planning the level of availability that you need to support your requirements in your closets. Cisco recommends a Tier 3, which would provide a maximum of 5 minutes of outage, and most typically this would be a redundant UPS configuration. Most of you probably have at least a Tier 3 architecture in your data center, but what are you doing for your network closets and equipment rooms? Increasingly, we see these distributed spaces moving from Tier 2 to Tier 3 or Tier 3 to Tier 4. This means in some cases, not only are you adding a UPS to your network closet, you may be adding a redundant UPS, or you may be incorporating 2 separate UPS systems to carry a dual bus configuration out to the network closet, as Brad suggested he was doing in some of his core network closets. If you want to create a completely redundant UPS network solution in your core network rooms and you have access to dual power feeds, we recommend the installation of 2 double conversion UPS with automatic transfer switches to monitor and transfer from the 2 distribution buses. Now let's talk about cooling and the need to design cooling solutions to handle electronic loads 24/7. Increased power in network closets means increased heat, which may increase the temperature of the infrastructure support space to levels that will jeopardize the reliability and the useful life of the equipment. Thus, we must consider cooling strategies that are designed to handle the unique requirements of electronic loads. Now, voice over IP increases heat in your critical spaces because we're seeing increased density in the switches. And let's take a look at how this looks. We have heat losses from the switch and the UPS, plus 10 to 15% of the P over E power could add up to heat losses in excess of 5,000 BTUs an hour and a critical need for precision air conditioning. Let's talk about cooling and the important distinction between precision cooling and comfort cooling. It's important to understand that electronic loads have unique cooling requirements. Most commercial air conditioning equipment is designed for people cooling. Comfort systems, as we call them, are designed to remove heat and moisture from the air. However, with electronic equipment, moisture must be tightly regulated in the computer space. And this is why precision air conditioning was created to handle the higher dry heat loads of electronic equipment. In an office environment, for example, the air change requirements may be only 2 to 3 times an hour, where a computer system requires 30 to 40 changes. Additionally, a comfort system can only deliver 300 to 400 CFM per minute, and electronic equipment requires as much as 500 to 600 cubic feet a minute. While open systems have been the standard in data centers, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, closed systems are gaining acceptance in network closets. And with the onset of higher heat densities, organizations are installing precision cooling and monitoring. We reviewed this chart a little earlier when we talked about the increased power requirements for network devices. What is unique about this application that, unlike the data center, where power will be relatively equal to heat dissipation, not all power is consumed in a network closet in an IP telephony application. Only 10 to 15% of P over E is converted heat in the network closet, and the rest is converted at the end device, the IP phone, or the end devices. So heat will not increase at the same rate as power in the network closet, but it will still be a factor to consider. You can go to the Cisco website where they have an excellent heat calculator that is useful for calculating heat loads for their products. If you don't have access to the calculator, you can convert the watts to BTUs by simply multiplying by 3.4 to give you a rough calculation. This chart provides general guidelines for when precision cooling is required. And although every application is different, if you have more than 1 kilowatt of equipment operating in a closet environment, you probably need some form of precision cooling to maintain appropriate environmental conditions. Now, there are a number of room cooling solutions. Both floor mount and ceiling mount solutions are available for small rooms. Here's an example of a floor mount solution providing redundant room-based precision air conditioning. Now, room-based cooling is generally considered an open architecture, like we use in a data center, a system that recirculates ambient air throughout the room. The alternative would be a closed architecture system, which encloses the precision cooling in a sealed rack cabinet. Now, closed systems are available for closets, and with the technological advances of blade servers, you will typically see both low-density and high-density applications in network closets. And this is going to depend on the type of equipment deployed and how the power is used. And if you go with a closed system, be sure it has backup ventilation in the event of a power outage. Now let's look at monitoring and service elements for your network infrastructure. These two elements should be considered together as they are directly related. And the overall goal for the network infrastructure here is to maximize availability. This requires diligent monitoring to know when a failure occurs and rapid service to get systems back online as soon as possible. If we take another look at our typical network infrastructure, we will usually see more proactive monitoring and trending at the core of the network because it's more centralized and it's easier to manage. However, as we extend towards the edge of our network, monitoring becomes more reactive, utilizing technologies like SMP communication and network management systems. This has been adequate for the data network that was tolerant to some downtime. Our converged network, however, as we've been discussing, will not be as tolerant and must therefore be uniformly monitored and serviced. In a mission-critical environment, a more proactive monitoring and service strategy through the network infrastructure is required. Since power availability and heat are our main concerns, We need to actively monitor critical conditions that could put our network at risk, such as UPS input power, battery capacity and runtime, output load percentage, and ambient temperature and humidity within the space. Trending this type of information will allow us to anticipate risks and take action before a failure occurs. Of course, there will always be anticipated failures, in which case we are still dependent upon immediate notifications to minimize mean time to repair and get systems back online as quickly as possible. So in our mission-critical monitoring infrastructure, our first line of defense should be a proactive and predictive methodology that will allow us to trend and analyze critical infrastructure conditions within our network space. If we can't or cannot anticipate failures before they occur, then it will be critical to know of these failures immediately through something like SNP, paging, or email notifications to ensure minimal disruption to our network foundation. Service will play a role with both monitoring and ensuring availability. For instance, Liebert Global Services provides outsourced monitoring of systems and notifies customers with any alerts. They also provide routine preventative maintenance, which is critical to ensuring the levels of availability needed throughout the enterprise. So in conclusion, traditional power and cooling strategies for the data network will not work for the converged network. Assessing your infrastructure and determining how to achieve reliability at the lowest cost of ownership is crucial. Protect all critical network layers. Design for an integrated power, cooling, monitoring, and service strategy with your converged network infrastructure, and not follow a piecemeal implementation. Thank you for your time, and we hope you enjoyed today's presentations.